All right, I'll put it on.
All right.
Hello?
Sir, what is your name? Sir, your name?
My name is Darryl Gaines.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear us? Can you stand by? I need to call your PO.
Yes.
No, 513-3540.
513, okay.
Yeah, 513.
You need to let us know, Patrick Close Pro Officer with Arizona Department of Corrections. I'm unable to get to my phone right now. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Maybe we will get back to you sooner if you send me a text message if you're able to. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Officer Close, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We're giving you a call. We're getting ready to start the hearing for Darryl Gaynor on a home arrest revocation. And sir, if you could give us a call at 254-5656 and let us know, we'll put you on the line at that time. Thanks. Let me try him one more time. Could you please state your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Darryl Gaynor, and my ABC number is 799-565.
Okay, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Luis Quinones. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your lead for the hearing today, sir. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Sir, do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, on that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, sir, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, sir. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Westby. I think you can see Mr. Westby on the screen now. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do, sir.
I do, and at this time, I request to make an amendment to page 1 of the warrant. There is a typo at the lower right section of the page for the community supervision end date. It currently says September 19th, 2019. That is incorrect. the correct date should be August 30th, 2026.
Okay, so they wanted to make a correction on your, the warrant, your sentence end date is August 30th of 26, not September 19th, 2010. So do you understand that, Mr. Garner?
Yes, sir. My sentence is the end date.
All right. All right, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. During the first phase, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. During the second phase, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your home arrest. Sir, we're going to start out in phase one. You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir? Okay, the first allegation on your warrants. First allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of the Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to submit a UA on April 19, 2018 between 1600 hours and 1730 hours on or about April 19, 2018 as directed on April 19, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
Sir, that is true, but I have an explanation.
Okay, we'll go into phase two. You'll get an opportunity to explain that, sir. The second allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation supervision number 2 is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to provide all access code to your cell phone upon verbal directive by your assigned parole officer during your staffing with senior parole officer Peretta on April 20th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True, that's false.
Okay, thank you, sir. Alright, based on the statement that allegation number 2 is false, sir, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, and get some additional information on that, okay?
Okay. April 20th, 2018, home arrest inmate Gaynor, number 099565, was staffed at the Phoenix Parole Office after he failed to submit a UA at task between the hours of 1600 hours and 1730 hours on April 19th, 2018, is authorized by PO Code Badge number 3272. During the staffing, Parole Supervisor Fleischman, Senior Parole Officer Peretta, Parole Officer Van Gundy, and Parole Officer Pope were present. PO Pope conducted an inspection of Gaynor's cell phone. Gaynor was in possession of a Samsung brand cell phone with cell number 602-516-4027. PO Pope observed Gaynor had a password lock on his cell phone. PO Pope asked Gaynor for the code. Gaynor did not say anything. PO Pope again asked the inmate again for his password to access the cell phone. Gaynor again said nothing. PO Pope then told Gaynor, quote, I have already asked you twice, what is the password to access your cell phone, end quote. Gaynor again said nothing. PO Pope informed the offender he had been asked for a cell phone password three times and failed to provide the code as requested. PO Pope informed Gaynor his refusal to provide the code to his cell phone was a violation and would be reported to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. After inmate Gaynor was asked three times about his access code for his cell phone and failed to provide his code as directed, he eventually provided the code to access his cell phone. Upon inspection of his cell phone, another security lock was located on his cell phone, which prevented PO Pope from inspecting Gaynor's picture gallery folder. PO Pope asked Gaynor for the code for the security lock. Gaynor reported he just added that security lock to his phone yesterday and couldn't remember what the code was. Gaynor informed PO Pope he thought it was a Z pattern. PO Pope attempted the pattern as Gaynor described. It did not work. PO Pope then asked Gaynor again what the code was. Gaynor reported it was a backward Z. PO Pope then tried to open the lock with a backward Z as described by Gaynor. This also failed to open the lock. The offender was verbally advised by Parole Supervisor Fleischman he was going to be returned to custody Defendant was transported to ASPC Phoenix, Alhambra by appeal of Hogue and Senior Peralta Perretta.
Okay. So, Mr. Bangler, what's false about that?
Well, I gave him a code. At the time that I was in the code office, Mr. Johnson, I had felt dizzy. I had a seizure in the code office, the paramedics had the car. But before they had asked me for the code, I only had a seizure because the metal test in my mouth and I can't talk. And I remember him on the floor and he asked me for the code and I gave him, first I couldn't answer. And so he asked me the third time and I heard him and I mouthed what the code was. And he was able to get in the preliminary code and the next code was a Z. And the other people said, well, maybe it's a natural C. And by that time, I was having an order. And the paramedics were called. And I was, by that time, on the floor, handcuffs on behind my back, and I couldn't talk.
Okay. All right. All right, sir, then I'm going to make a motion based on the admission of Mr. Gaynor for allegation number one, based on the information in the warrant as well as information from the parole officer in allegation number two, I am going to move to find that Mr. Gaynor was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about the lapse in the criminal ways or accompanying. Hold on, sir.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Quinones, agreed with by Mr. Neal. Mr. Gaynor, what were you going to say, sir?
I was wondering if this board received the text messages that we sent.
Yes. Yes, we're going to go into that now, sir. We're going into phase two of your hearing. We're in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your home arrest. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby.
Yes, and I just wanted to advise the board that I received an email from the parole supervisor, Mr. Pogue, and I guess they were having some issues with his cell phone, so they advised to call his desk phone, which is 602-771-5588.
5588. All right, we'll try that.
Good morning, this is Patrick. How may I help you?
Hi, Officer Polk?
Yes.
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I understand that you want to participate in the hearing for Daryl Garner?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, we're in the process of conducting that hearing now. We just finished doing phase one of the hearing. Now we're going into phase two of the hearing, sir. So if we would just stand by, and at this time, let me also swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay. We're going into phase two of the hearing now. So, Mr. Westby, are you going to provide the board with the information, or are we going
yes,
to?
Sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Westby, you go ahead and provide that information to us.
On February 22, 2018, Mr. Gaynor was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 20, 2018 by the Electronic Monitoring Unit. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody April 20, 2018 with a projected CCD of August 30, 2026, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 1993, armed robbery, 9 counts. Counts 1 through 3, 28 years, 1 count 32 years, 1 count 33 years, 1 count 30 years, 1 count 10 and a half years, 1 count 18 years. He has no prior prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2014, home arrest release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with threats, violence, weapons, and sex acts noted. Other arrests, 1979, burglary, Indiana, felony conviction, probation. 1986, drawing check with insufficient funds, California, county jail. 1991, theft, Arizona, disposition unknown. Opportunity risk score is a G1 V1.
Okay, Mr. Gann, I'm going to go with some information with you, sir, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to present what information you'd like to present to the board, and then I'm going to get some information from the parole officer, Mr. Crowe. Officer Crowe. It looks like that when you were released, you were to reside at Church on the Street, 3210 West Grand Avenue. You remained at that address until you got borough permission to move to your current address, which was at 3840 West Mitchell Drive in Phoenix, and you resided at that address until you were arrested. Who lived at the address 3840 West Mitchell Drive, sir?
That would be an Angelina
Pascoe,
sir.
Who?
Angelina Pascoe.
Okay. All right. All right, sir, it says that you were referred to employment resources. It says that you have not employment and signed parole, not informed your parole quickly, that you suffered from seizure and had not been medically cleared to begin working. So were you working during that period of time?
When I had a potential person, so when I had gotten violated, when I got out, I started my own small business business. So I had my own business business, but I wasn't able to go back to work because I was going back and forth to the doctor for my seizures, and I hadn't been medically cleared yet.
Okay, what kind of business did you have?
It's a small maintenance business.
Small maintenance.
I would clean offices at night, and I got a lot of trust from the community. I had up to 22 accounts, and I only had a few left, and I was working on that on my computer, trying to get back into the swing of things, but I wasn't medically cleared because my car accident in 2015, and after that I started having seizures. And so I was unable to operate the business like I normally would, but there's a lot of people that depended on me and trusted me in those businesses.
Okay, so it says that on April, you had one UA on April 20, on March 19th, was negative for prohibited substance, and then it says that on April 19th, you failed the UA, that you didn't provide a UA during that period of time. So it looks like on April 8th, you failed to follow your pre-approved itinerary at one time, and you had a one unauthorized location. You were reminded that you had to stick to the itinerary, which you did, and then it says that you failed to follow the verbal directives of PO Pro on April 19th, and then you were taken into custody, sir. So, Mr. Gaynor, you wanted to go ahead and then explain what happened in that situation? And I want you to know we do have some information and letters here that we have received also explaining some of the incidents as well as a copy of the text messages that were actually sent, okay?
Yes, sir. As far as the my father and my children, I did go to a drive-thru get some chicken, and I was, you know, the next visit to the parole officer, and slammed the supervisor, and he told me, he says, if you have an hour left, where are you going to go? I said, home. He said, if you have anything to do with that, where are you going to go? I said, home. So it didn't happen again. And as far as this particular violation here, I had this report for, I think, maybe a week. I had been reports for a week, and I don't have anything more to say about him. He did his job well. I had contacted him that day, and I had told that my comrade came up, because I did it from Twitter. My text messages come from Twitter. the color of the day, and I told her that McClellan Road had came up, and I didn't commission it to go to the forefront. One system, and I can't agree with it. And I told her that he wasn't looking at should go to 4530, and I responded and I said thank you. And at that particular time, I had just gotten my medication paid before he had given me permission to go to my medication, and I started a little seizure medication called Calpro. And so I was pretty lousy that day. And so something told me, just call this place, it's another place. It's one of the worst places in the valley, and see what time they close. So I called them, and they said, well, we close at 5 o'clock, and you gotta get here for 30. And so I didn't know that. And so I called Mr. Holdback, and I apologized. I said, I apologize. I had to wait for Angelina to get home, and this particular test was at 5 o'clock, and I thought we'd stay up late. So I would like permission to go to 2302 on 7th Street. And at that time, I asked me why I did you use the word for her. And I did at the time, but I did have a meeting scheduled for that particular day, the day of my arrest. My schedule was for the previous day. And so I told him that I only had enough gas money for yesterday for the previous schedule, and she has my card. Because one day she buy it, and one day I buy it. She had my card. She's coming home to work. And I also had gotten information about my MRI that same day. My schedule was for me, and I sent that to him. The address is signed, and then I sent that. And so about 20 minutes later, I texted him and said, no, I called him. And then I texted him 20 minutes later, so I can go now, so I have my, for my test, I have my car. And then about 9:05:14, then at 6:35, about an hour and a half later, I called him, I texted him again, and said, I'm still waiting for your permission, sir. And then he texted me, I said, yeah, we're going to get permission to go between 4 and 5:30. I'm not sure when you texted me. Report to the office at 8 a.m. And at that particular time, I just texted him back and said, I'm not testing you, sir. I've never been in trouble with what I can be. I reported the next morning, and I was arrested there, and I still hadn't had a chance to take my medication at one because it makes me drowsy when I drive. And because I had, an episode a couple weeks before that. And so at that particular time, I was there, and I suffered a lightheaded, and I had the metal taste in my mouth. Whenever you have a seizure, you have this metal taste in your mouth. And it's difficult to talk. And that's around the time that I was asked for the number to my coach in the phone. And I could hear him, but I couldn't respond at that particular time. Then I started mouthing off, and I finally gave him the code to my phone. And there was a secondary habit on there that I just couldn't make out at that time. I was kind of disoriented a little bit because I had brought the medication with me to show to Mr. Holloway and his supervisor the medication I was taking and the side effects. I brought it with me, and it just went bad from there. I had a seizure, and the paramedics were calling me. I gave up steps that I had. But at one time, I always, this was the only time I had Mr. Hole for a week, and this was the only time that, and he would probably attest to this, that he had any trouble with me whatsoever, because I kind of over-communicated. You know, I wanted to over-communicate with him, because I heard a lot of guys getting, put back in the system because they violated home arrest or some sort of condition, and I didn't want that for myself. And so I tried to communicate as best as possible, and I still found myself in Alhambra. And I was there for 20 days in the prison. Sure. Goodbye. Yes, sir. But at no time did I really want to violate any directions from my parole officer. And the thing is really quick, because I know you guys are really busy, but is that I wasn't going to be a mayor. So I had to either stay at home and work with the director to get permission from the other place or just go to the other place. And I knew I couldn't go to the other place because I didn't have permission. And the place that gave the permission to go to was closing in a short period of time, and that needs to be verified. So I just honestly didn't know what to do. So I said, well, if I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave. You know, and I need permission for him to go because the other place is closed at 9 o'clock. I said, I'm going to take the test. And I thought I was going to get permission, but I didn't. So I just stayed home, and that's when he said, and he was not sure what I was testing him. I guess maybe he thought I was trying to buy time or whatever. But when I got to it, I had to fast forward. They tested me the next day at 4:21, and it came up negative. So I wasn't trying to hide anything.
Okay.
Both of yours came up negative.
Okay, Mr. Gannon, let me ask you a couple of questions. So, you know, I do have the text that you have here, and it does appear that when you did text him, he did give you permission to go, I think it was up until 5:30, in order for you to go. However, he gave you permission from 4 p.m. to 5:30 to actually go, and then it was at after that time that you text again and said you couldn't go between that time. It was after 5, and it was at 5:14 when you said you could leave at any time to go to test, that you had your card, and then you asked them at 5:35 if you could go somewhere else, sir. So it was 11 o'clock in the day. What time did you get notified that your color code came up?
I notified him at 3:32.
Okay, what time did you get notified? What time did it come up on yours that you had to go test?
Exactly 3:25. I'm saying because I had mentioned earlier in this conversation that
so okay, so sir, I'm going to ask a question. So when your color code comes up that you have to test, it doesn't come up in the morning, it comes up in the afternoon? Okay, so what happened when it came up in the morning? What time did it come up in the morning?
It usually comes up around probably between 6 and 8, but I was still asleep at that time because I had taken the new medication and it gave me the side effects, which I brought to the program.
So between 6 and 8 a.m., you were notified that you had to go test, but you didn't notify your PO until 3 o'clock that your color code had came up?
Yes, sir, because I was asleep during the day.
So how long did you sleep? What time did you get up?
I got up at about 3:15 and checked my phone. As soon as I checked my phone, I found out that my color came up.
So you slept all the way to 3:15 in the afternoon?
Yes, sir, I did. And my roommate came and tested that because when she came home from work, I was still sleeping from the medication. It makes me feel really drowsy. That's why I continued before I came to the program. It makes me really drowsy. And it causes a lot of anxiety, so I didn't take any money to the poor office at night, and the day before I took it, I took it at AM and PM, and I was really, really still nauseated and tired. But as soon as I found out that my color came up is when I contacted my poor officer. And most of these cases don't close until 9 o'clock anyway. This is a new facility that closes at 5 p.m. The only ones in the lobby that closes at 5 p.m. The rest of us get them tonight, so I have plenty of time.
Okay, well, I see that you did have at least one text where you asked at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, 7:54, where you asked for permission to go pick up some medication. So I know that at some point in time you were getting up in the morning. So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Okay, if the board has no additional questions for you at this time, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Pogue, and get some information at this time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Pogue.
Yes, sir.
I was just trying to get some clarification on the notification, when he was notified. Do we know what time he would have been originally notified?
Yes, sir. If I remember correctly, when I was able to access a cell phone, usually what happens is when people on supervision sign up for a task to be notified of their task colors, generally speaking, roughly 95% of the time or greater, they receive a text message at approximately 6 a.m. every morning.
Okay.
I also receive those text messages on my work cell phone and also personal phone to advise me of the day's colors. So in case I come in contact with somebody I supervise that has an assigned color, I can say, hey, did you check task day? Did you know your color came up? So routinely I try to remind people when I come in contact with them that their color comes up.
Okay. And so in Mr. Gaynor's case, what time did he notify you that his color came up?
He notified me at roughly approximately 1553 hours, which would be 3:53.
Almost 4 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then, sir, so after he notified you, did he tell you once you gave him permission that he could go, did he say anything to you at that time about not having transportation or not having gas to be able to go?
No, sir, he did not.
Okay, and so did he get permission to, did he say anything about him taking his medication and not being able to drive?
No, sir.
Okay. So the next day, the following day, when he came into the office and you asked him for the information about the cell phone, what happened? Because he says that he was having a seizure and he was unable to give you a response to give you the information.
Sure. So what happened is we asked to inspect his cell phone. When I picked up his cell phone, I attempted to open it up to look inside of it. We routinely do that for all of our offenders. When I asked him, so basically I opened up the cell phone and noticed there was it asked me for a password. And so I asked Mr. Gaynor for his password and he basically said nothing. He stared blankly at the supervisor, who was also present. And I asked him again. I said, Mr. Gaynor, I said, I need your password to enter your phone. And he said nothing again. And I said, Mr. Gaynor, I've already asked you twice. I'm going to ask you a third and final time. Can you give me your access code so I can access your phone? He said nothing. At that time, I told him, I said, Mr. Gaynor, you're refusing to provide a password for your assigned parole officer to inspect your cell phone. I said, I'm going to advise the parole board, it's your parole board hearing, that you are in non-compliance with all directives of your parole officer by failing to comply with a lawful directive to provide that password. And at that time, he said, oh, okay, and then he gave us the password to get into the cell phone. I was able to get into the cell phone. However, he had installed an application on his cell phone. Once I was able to get inside, another security password that I could not access his photo folder. And when again, I asked him, I said, you know, there appears to be another app that's preventing me from accessing the photos. What is the password for that? And he basically told me that it was a Z pattern. So I tried a Z pattern. My supervisor asked him, are you sure it's a Z pattern? We tried a backwards Z. We tried everything we could to try to access that. And when we asked, well, why do you have this on? He said, well, I don't really recall. I just put the new security lock on yesterday. The day before, and he didn't remember the password. And then after that time, he apparently suffered what appeared to be a seizure. We called medical. We called an ambulance. They came and checked him out, and we did tell him that he did have a history of having seizures. They said he was in good health, and they said it would be advised him that he was going to be in custody, and they said his vitals were normal and he could be transported to Alhambra with no issues. And that's what happened.
Okay. All right, Officer Polo, thanks.
You're welcome.
Mr. Gaynor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we heard what Officer Porter just informed the board of. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, sir, without repeating yourself?
The zip code on my phone was correct, and I tried to get somebody to report the phone today, but the zip code on it was a regular zip with a lip on it. And at the time that he asked me for the code, as I said before, I was filling the room with him. And it's hard to talk when you're about to have a seizure.
Okay.
It really is. And I tried to listen to the information, and it just didn't work out that way. But I remembered not hear information directly to the board, so that it asked me. I had no listening to that whatsoever.
But they said that they called the paramedics, they called the ambulance, and everybody came out. They checked you out, and all your vitals were good, and that it didn't really show that you were having a stroke, and that they said that you were good to go to be incarcerated.
Well, they asked me to go to the hospital, and I told them I wanted to see my doctor. Mm-hmm. And I remember I asked to see my doctor unless I needed to be. I was scheduled to see a neurologist the day before he put me on the medication.
Uh-huh.
And I've been having seizures for quite a long time.
Okay.
So I don't understand, but I would, it wasn't a stroke, it was a seizure. It's called a grandma seizure. And they did transport me to Alhambra, where I had two more seizures once I got there.
Uh-huh. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, so I'm going to ask you to remain on the line, have to remain silent while the board's in discussion. At that time, we'll make a determination whether to reinstate or revoke you your home arrest, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board's now into discussion. We've had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Gaynor as well as the parole officer, Mr. Pohl. I think that at this time that Mr. Gaynor just didn't give the information that for some reason he didn't go take his UA during that period of time when he was actually there. The information about him taking the medication and being ill, or his roommate not being home to transport him to it when he notified his PO. Plus, if he got a message at 6 a.m. in the morning notifying him that he had to go take his UA and he didn't make arrangements until almost 4 o'clock that evening with his PO to go take it. I think that he had ample time from that time to go and take it, and then not providing the PO with the information that to open up the phone. He was asked 3 times, 1 time, and then the second code that he had on there, he just didn't give him the right information. He's saying now that it was a Z, but it had something on it that he didn't inform the PO at that time. At this time, you know, based on the information that we have and information contained in MARC number 2018W1170, based on the information contained from Officer Pogue as well as the warrant, as I said before, I don't feel that Mr. Gaynor, I'm not in favor of reinstating him on his home arrest. I think that he did violate the terms and conditions as well as failed to provide the UA when requested to do so when his color came up, as well as failed to provide the information as directed lawfully by this board at the time that it was requested. So I'm not in favor of reinstating him on his home arrest. At this time, however, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the home arrest of Mr. Gaynor, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision of his home arrest, and had lapses about the lapse of the criminal ways or company, as he didn't take his UA when requested, when his color code came up, and he failed to provide the access information to his cell phone when requested by his PO.
Okay.
Agreed. Okay. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal, agreed with by Mr. Cagnone. Mr. Gaynor?
Yes, sir. wasn't.
Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You're not your community supervision, I'm sorry, but to revoke your home arrest status. You will be released on August 30th of 2026. That is your release date. You may be certified by Department of Corrections to come back before this board again for your home arrest status. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity for appearing before this board.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Mr. Polk?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to conclude the hearing at this time. The board did vote to revoke the home arrest status of Mr. Gardner. We're going to disconnect at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Okay, thanks.